Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Today, in a move that may or may not have an impact for LeBron, the Lakers cleared some cap space. Delighted to say Ryan Jones is with us. Ryan, good evening to you.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Is there anything to this, or is it just that type, that part of the season where we can idly speculate about what might happen in the future with impunity?
I think it's probably all of the above, if that's possible. It is sort of, you know, it's the silly season for the NBA generally, and I think in the wake of the Warriors' dominance this season and the fact that that team looks like it should stay intact for the next 4 or 5 years, everyone's sort of scrambling to find out, A, is there any chance we can compete with these guys over the next couple of years? Or if not, how do we really focus everything on being really good in 3 or 4 or 5 years? And that seems to be the Lakers' mindset, which seems to make sense. Now, obviously, if they could get Paul George and then have a chance at LeBron after next year, that could make them pretty good. But it's based on a lot of hope.
So maybe just explain what happened to us today. The Lakers got a fairly expensive contract off their books.
Right. Timothy Mozgov, who had been a Cavalier the season before last and was on the Lakers, I'm bad with the numbers, I think, what, $63, $64 million his contract was, sending him to the Brooklyn Nets, and then trading D'Angelo Russell, who was this really promising young player. Not that everyone was sold on him necessarily being sort of a superstar, but definitely a guy with star potential. And so what that's done is, it's given him salary cap room for the next few years, and could put them in a position over the next couple of years to get a guy like LeBron, but they're, you know, big capital C could here. These are all hopeful moves that, about giving themselves a shot over the next couple of years.
Okay, so the Paul George element of all this, is that the type of player that they need to sign first before they can convince LeBron, yeah, if you come here, you are still going to be in contention to win a ring?
Yeah, I think they would understand that they're not going to get LeBron. No team is going to get LeBron to come without having at least one, if not a few, really, really good parts already in place. Because why would he leave, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love to step down to a team that doesn't have any other high-level guys of that caliber? So I think there's a great chance he could end up leaving Cleveland, certainly, before the end of his career, particularly the way the Cavs seem to be managed. They just lost their general manager, David Griffin, in large part, apparently, because owner Dan Gilbert didn't seem to prioritize keeping him, and he's a really well-regarded GM with a great reputation and obviously got a lot of credit for putting together last year's championship team. So they've just lost him. It's easy to think that LeBron and Gilbert, with their history of some animosity there from when LeBron left a couple years ago, it sounds like soap opera the longer I talk about it, that, you know, LeBron would not have much trouble leaving if there was a better situation for him over the next couple years. So L.A. could be one of those options, absolutely, if they had a guy like Paul George and some cap space and some good young players and role players around them.
Why would you let David Griffin go if you're the Cavaliers, if you think that he's like a young hotshot executive who's put together a winning team?
Right. The consensus seems to be that the owner, Dan Gilbert, is just not that great at owning a basketball team. You know, he lucked into drafting LeBron, or, you know, the team lucked into drafting LeBron because they were bad and he was there, and to have the homegrown guy and, you know, essentially a homegrown talent and an all world sort of revolutionary talent be available when they had the number one pick was, you know, some amount of luck and good timing. And so that led them to being very good, primarily because of LeBron. And then they lost him, and due somewhat to luck, they got him back because it made sense for him to come back. And, you know, again, having guys like Kyrie Irving and being able to get Kevin Love and put together a title contending team. But, you know, so they've had a lot of success in that sense under Dan Gilbert. But at the same time, I don't think he gets a whole lot of credit, deservedly does not get a whole lot of credit for really being some sort of visionary owner. And the fact that he let Griffin go apparently over a contract renegotiation kind of would reinforce that idea.
Yeah, so that suggests a bit of hubris on the owner's part. If they get somebody good who convinces LeBron to stay, is that an element of this? Or is this all about LeBron has done his time, he's restored his reputation at home, and there's a third act, fourth act in his career, really, where no one in Cleveland would begrudge him if he did decide that his future is in L.A.?
Yeah, I think that definitely could be how it ends up working out. I don't think any Cavs fan really at this point would be bothered. He brought them a championship. which was, you know, the thing Cleveland famously hadn't been able to get a hold of in any sport for a really long time, decades. So to do that, to come back home and to win here, and to make the franchise, you know, one of the best in the league, at least for a few years, I think most Cavs fans would appreciate that and sort of be content with him moving on. You know, there's been all sorts of rumors, again, going to L.A. to try to link up with Chris Paul with the Clippers, or somewhere with Chris Paul and the Clippers. They're very close friends, have been for years. The Lakers, to go there if it meant linking up with, you know, a guy of Paul George's caliber or whoever it might be. But he wants to win some more before he's done. He's 32 years old. He's got a ton of mileage. But as we saw over the past few weeks, still playing at an incredibly high level, you know, good enough to average a triple-double with 30-plus points a game in the finals. So I think he wants to win, absolutely, you know, have a shot at a couple more championships before he's done. And it's looking increasingly unlikely that Cleveland will be the place that can happen. But there's so much that could change between now and then.
Yeah, just so he's obviously got one season left on his contract in Cleveland, and that's definitely going to happen. We can't see any situation where that doesn't really happen. Is there anything that they can do in this offseason to try and somehow close the gap?
Well, apparently they're interviewing Chauncey Billups today, who isn't a guy with, you know, real front office experience, but he's a well-regarded guy around the league. I mean, certainly from my time covering him at Slam, he's known as a sharp guy and I think well-regarded. So maybe if they get a young guy come in like that who's connected and can try to make some things happen for them, maybe that's enough to keep him and make him feel like, you know, they're headed the right direction. But I you know, he's a savvy guy, LeBron, and he's going to look at his whatever he feels is the best option for him going forward. The LA move makes sense because he's increasingly involved in entertainment in Hollywood. You know, he's got production roles in a couple of shows going right now. He's acted a bit, obviously. He's involved in movies. So LA would make a lot of sense on that level. But I think, yeah, I think he, you know, the idea of playing with a great friend like a Carmelo Anthony or Chris Paul, but ultimately the chance to try to win some more, I think is what's going to guide him in all this.
Is he the type of guy who you think goes on to 40, or does he get out having reached the finals? Like, it has to be a finals victory or a finals defeat, and he goes, okay, I've had enough. Or is he the type of player who loves the game so much that he plays on and on and on?
I don't think he'll sort of overstay his ability to be among the best players in the league. I can't see him sort of being a role player or a third option on some team. You know, at some point in the next few years, his ability figures to start to decline. Again, he's played a lot of minutes and a lot of games for a 32-year-old. Been in the playoffs essentially every year other than, I think, his rookie season, and deep into the playoffs all the way to the finals, 7 years in a row now. So I think I'd be shocked to see him playing at 40, especially because he's a guy who's going to have a lot going on after retirement. So many guys at that level don't know what they're going to do with their lives. LeBron's got a ton going on. He's hinted at NBA ownership. But again, he's involved in business and entertainment. He's going to be busy whenever he's ready to retire. So I doubt he goes to 40. Would he love to go out on top? Of course he would. I think all the guys at that level, you know, that's the ideal goal. But easier said than done.
So the draft, I think, is due tomorrow, the 22nd. Today's the 21st. So that's right. Yeah, the draft starts tomorrow. Are there big storylines already that we know exactly what's going to happen, or is there still a bit of horse trading to be done?
Well, it seems like the Sixers trading up for Markelle Fultz. I think I'm always stumbling on the pronunciation of his name, but that's sort of the continuation of the Sixers process, capital P process that they've been going through over the past few years, really sort of being intentionally awful to put themselves in a position to get a ton of draft picks and a collection of terrific young talent and then hope to be able to compete in a few years. This seems like now they're to the point where they're about ready to try and see if they can actually start winning. You know, if Joel Embiid can be healthy, if Ben Simmons can be healthy, if Fultz is as good as a lot of people project he might be, then we might start seeing them be very young and very exciting very quickly. And there's a lot of moving around, and who knows what might happen on draft night. But the chatter and the movement of the past few days should make tomorrow night that much more intriguing.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.